Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that is as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to HearstRanch.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchen of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. If you're listening to Hot Grease Live, please give us a ring at 718-497-2128. Today, we'll be talking fresh ginger, ginger ale. Move over Canada Dry and Red Rock. We have a new kid in town, Fresh Ginger Ginger Ale by Bruce Cost. In the studio, we have the one and only Bruce. Welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm happy to be on the show.
First off, let me show you the photos from Saturday's 6th annual New York City Vindy Awards. The Cinnamon Snail Truck was representing for you. They were one of the rookies in the rookie category.
Yeah, how did they do?
They did. I don't think that they won Rookie of the Year. They did not win. Uh-huh. That was a Greek pita truck won Rookie of the Year. But the greatest thing is the daughter was pouring. You see the picture, the photos? Yeah. She's pouring your ginger ale. And then there are a whole slew of bottles of your stuff. I was so excited, so I took pictures. I need to put this up.
Thanks. Those are good.
Up on my Facebook page of your ginger ale. She was like 8 years old, snapping the top off pouring.
Did she shake it up?
She did. She did a light shake. So do you have any favorite street food trucks in New York City?
I'll tell you, I really like the idea of the street. I haven't tried. I know they're more down. I'm out in Brooklyn, actually, during the day. So my wife, Kavi, I know, eats in a lot of them. She's in Midtown. We actually, probably this is the first show to announce it. We with the ginger ale and with Asian steamed buns that we introduced this weekend at the Dumpling Festival, mm-hmm, and potsticker dumplings, we will at some point probably have a hopefully have a food truck under my name.
Oh!
With ginger ale, steam bao. I have like Berkshire pork steamed Chinese buns.
Wow.
And dumplings, edamame dumplings, Berkshire pork dumplings, and so forth. So it'll be a new product to New York. We haven't, I think Fresh Direct's the only people that know about it right now. We talked to them about carrying it, so it's...
Okay, so breaking news on Hot Grease.
Yeah, breaking news on Hot Grease.
Bruce Cost will have a food truck. All right, then. I love breaking
news.
We have
a ways to go, I think. We need a license, I guess. And, you know, I don't...
you can do it. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Speaking of favorites, we were just talking before the show about your travels. What are some of your favorite farm-to-table dining spots in Brooklyn or in New York in general or around the world?
Well, I think Roberta's does a great job here, and it's only a couple blocks from where we actually make peel and make this ginger ale. But years ago in San Francisco, I actually started. I know with Alice Waters, helping me out there, and that was kind of the original farm-to-table restaurant. I'd lived on one of their farms for a few days for an article, Chino Ranch,
mm-hmm.
and I know probably the epicenter right now of this sort of thing, new butcher shops and everything, is in Brooklyn. I live on the Lower East Side, you know, and there's a lot going on down there. And then I travel in Asia, so it's not a new, you know they don't go back. You know,
we're behind time here in the States.
Well, I was outside of Bangkok a couple of weeks. You wouldn't call it a farmer's market. It's just the market people shop with river fish jumping in a basket and herbs that have just been pulled out of the earth and, you know, great fruits and vegetables. So it's a terrific movement. I mean, it's just terrific to get an herb that's cut, you know.
And, totally. And,
yeah. Or lettuce.
There's a lot going on in terms of food, the Lower East Side. The meatball shop, I think that's the Lower East Side.
Yeah, I think they carry the ginger ale.
Yeah, I feel like they carry the ginger ale. I mean, it's a lot of places that are carrying your ginger ale. Besides bottling fresh ginger ale, you are a pioneer in restaurant concepts and the author of several books. Tell us about some of the restaurants and books you've written.
The first restaurant, and the restaurant that was, I guess, the best or most traumatic for me, since I had never worked a day in a restaurant, was we opened, and we would get live fish, into the restaurant. It was a restaurant called Monsoon in 1989 in San Francisco. And I don't consider myself a chef, but the first 2 years of the James Beard Award, I was nominated for
that. Exactly.
Best chef in California, but I came to New York and lost to somebody else from California. But we, financially, it was a disaster, but critically, it was a good place. And it wasn't a good location particularly, but I think it was a memorable restaurant. And the nice thing for somebody that cooks Asian food who is not Chinese or Asian is that we had the government of Singapore used us for their banquets.
Oh, wow.
And so forth. I think they were convinced that there was this old Chinese chef back in the kitchen. But very old-fashioned techniques. A lot of the seafood was alive, spot prawns. I'd use Paul Johnson out in Monterey Fish out there. And it was kind of a farm-to-restaurant Asian restaurant out
mm-hmm.
there.
And you have, I know you have a book solely about ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have a few other cookbooks that you've written about Asian food as well.
I wrote a book that, for people that write books, I spent a lot of time doing research. And, you know, I had major publishers and agents, but you end up making 15 cents an hour doing it. I have a book on Asian ingredients that was published by William Morrow and then by HarperCollins. And I think most people refer to it. We traced the ingredients back in history And then I sold that as newspaper columns to, it was in the Chronicle, Washington Post, not in New York, but in, Chicago Tribune, Oregonian, seven or eight newspapers around the country. And I wrote a book called Big Bowl Cooking because I had these big bowl restaurants in Chicago, and that was published by HarperCollins and contributed to the update of The Joy of Cooking and wrote a lot.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, that's what I thought was so interesting about your bio, how you contributed to The Joy of Cooking. And I also saw a few other contributor notes from you beyond The Joy of Cooking. I thought, wow, amazing.
Yeah, I tried. You don't go to college and get a degree in Chinese cooking or Asian cooking. So I've done about, I've had restaurants. I wrote columns. I wrote for my friend Ruth Reichel at Gourmet once in a while after I stopped writing a lot. I wrote for the Journal of Gastronomy, which was a terrific, Sarah Jenkins and has Porchetta. Her mom was a New York Times lady that edited this wonderful journal. I wrote a lot, that's kind of quasi-academic writing. I've been on a lot of panels. But most recently, I'm still partners in Chicago with this new bun place, Wow Bao, which has these Asian steam buns, and there are three of those out there. And we'll try to bring those to New York.
To Brooklyn. Cool. We are going to take a short break. Keep listening. We'll be back with more Bruce Cost.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band. Come blow your horn, start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. What good's permitting some prophet of doom to wipe every...
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Thanks if you're listening live to Hot Grease or you're pressing play on your MP3 player. We are chatting with Bruce Koss, the man behind Fresh Ginger Ginger Ale. New York Times food bloggers and food writers are raving about his awesome unfiltered beverage. So, Bruce, for folks who have not tried your sodas, tell us about the ingredients in your three flavors.
I think the main thing, I think why it's gotten the response it has, the ginger ale, is it's unfiltered. We left it purposely unfiltered, and we actually, and it's kind of a pain in the neck, we use about 1,000 pounds of fresh ginger for every 1,500 cases of it, and so we leave some of these particles in the beverage. And then most all beverages are, whether they're natural or not, are still extracts, oils. They're basically kind of colored soda water. So I think people respond to this. And plus, I think mankind kind of has an affinity for this herb. I mean, it's just the most popular on the planet. So we don't have any particular groups that like it more than it spans the world. So, and there, besides just the regular fresh ginger we call original, there's an unusual jasmine tea. It's infused with a really flowery whole leaf jasmine tea, and then we have a pomegranate hibiscus.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
So should I be calling, or should we be calling this a soda or ginger ale?
Well, we call it a ginger ale, although evidently, you know, we were talking to people in Canada, and they think we should call it a brew or something like that, because a ginger ale, even though that's the home of Canada Dry, isn't considered a high-level beverage. So you can call it what you want, you know, as long as you continue to be a fan of it.
Of course, you know. Yeah. I'm your number one.
You are.
So let's talk cane sugar and high fructose corn syrup. All of your products, you only have, what, three or four ingredients in each?
Yes.
And you have cane sugar.
Yeah, pure cane sugar, which is, you know, it's interesting that of course, sugar in the old days was sugar and you know, it didn't have the greatest. But now, because there is corn syrup, pure cane sugar has a great name. It's more, you know, it's more expensive. And I actually think it's, you know, I read an article recently, sugar, but I don't think that's true. I mean, you can, you know, even if you have a Coca-Cola in Mexico or India or another part of the world, it tastes entirely different and better. So that the cane sugar just has a clean taste to it.
So what do you think about a few weeks ago, high fructose corn syrup people, I don't know if they were a group of corn producers or what, where they're attempting to change their name to corn syrup, I guess to take the negative connotation out of the high fructose. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think it will. You know, the people that can tell the difference, I don't think it will. It's not going to. They're not going to run and say, "Well, this is okay." I mean, it's still going to be. It's the same product. So, I don't think it'll make any difference whatsoever. Actually,
I think. Don't you think people are smart enough to kind of understand that it's just a name change, if it even happens?
Yeah, and actually the people doing it are smart enough to know too. I mean, you know, people are smart.
I want to talk food deserts and fresh ginger ale. I have purchased your product in like a Crown Heights bodega. For people listening, Crown Heights is a neighborhood in Brooklyn. And I've even seen your stuff on FreshDirect.com and several low and high-end food markets. We had the owner of Green Grape Provisions last week. She sells your stuff. Did you make a choice to spread the ginger ale love and not just say, oh, I'm just going to be in the Dean and DeLucas and the high-end places of the world?
Well, we did make a choice to, you know, we were to give it to people that we felt would appreciate it, and you know, small distributors that love it, and in New York, I think more than any other place, people appreciate what's good, and a lot of stuff spreads word of mouth, so that you know, if that's a tactic, it's kind of worked beyond our hopes. When you see blogs in Brooklyn, and you know, like Green Grape or Blue Apron or Stinky Cheese or Radagast Beer Hall or Momofuku Sambar, a lot of East Village, Lower East Side where I live, a lot of Brooklyn. And then the bodegas were interesting to me. We just have a kind of a Korean distributor, J&J, and he actually learned about the product. He has a lot of sub distributors, but a lot of clout in these corner bodegas. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know. You know, we went around trying to guess which stores it would be. We'd walk in and we'd find it, and it was like a miracle. You know, so we're trying to develop, you know, a distribution network of people that are in it because they like it. But we'll be using some big distributors.
So if people are listening, is there a way to go to your website and see exactly where folks can find fresh ginger ale?
I would go to the Facebook, which is like right now we did the website, and then we're going to kind of take it back ourselves and find a way to update it, because there are way more outlets than are on the website. I mean, I have to go to Seattle Wednesday, for example, because the Whole Foods out there took it, and they're a little annoyed at us that we haven't gotten involved in the big promotions and so forth, but we have to go out, and I'm flattered, and it's just we're not that big, so it gets a little overwhelming to try to keep up with. Actually, Byrighton, if people know, in San Francisco.
He's good friends of Heritage.
Yeah, Byright Market is going to take it as the first person in San Francisco. So.
Oh, Sam.
Sam and Allie out there. So we try to look for markets where it'll be appreciated and understood, and we'll spread around that way rather than, you know, we're not in a hurry. I mean, I've done a lot of different things, and this is just kind of fun, and I believe it's a great product. So
yeah, you even mentioned before the show that it's really popular on Brown University's campus.
Yeah, we found it was in Providence. We're trying to track that down right now. We heard that Brown students are drinking it, something we didn't know. We have a distributor that has some accents to Provincetown, and so you know, we try to gather all this stuff on the Facebook is what we can. So it's going to the West Coast. It'll be down in Washington, D.C. We just have to kind of keep up with it.
Cool. We are going to take a short break and come back with more ginger ale, folks. Keep listening.
There's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is being sponsored by Hearst Ranch. If you're at your computer right now, check out HearstRanch.com. That's H-E-A-R-S-T, Ranch.com. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. It's been a while since we've hit listeners with our favorite segment on Hot Grease, the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. Bruce Koss, if you've been listening to the previous two segments, you know he's in the studio, and he is going to give us five ways to use fresh ginger, ginger ale. Number five on Mr. Koss's Hot Five.
Number five, I mean, is to, and this is kind of counterintuitive, would be to open it cold in the winter and drink it. Because we found when we'd kind of serve it made to order in the restaurants that I always did, that it actually warms you up. Mm. So it's, even though a lot of beverages die out in the wintertime, this drink will warm you up.
So. Okay, so fresh ginger, ginger ale in the winter. It helps with circulation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, digestion, circulation. But it's also a it's a kind of a wholesome stimulant, too.
Okay.
But it warms up your system. So
instead of, illegal drugs, y'all.
Right. Yeah. Instead of crack.
Let's get a ginger ale. So number four on the Hot Five.
I would put a couple. There's a lot of terrific bars in the New York area where they use special ice cubes and snip herbs and so forth. But then they're stuck with a lot of not a great mixers. This is a terrific mixer. And at my recent wedding party, we had a lot of, food people and wine people and so forth. But we had the bartenders make two drinks with this. And it turned out that we ran through these drinks faster than all. And I'm stuck with all these wines. But so number four, I would mention we did a kind of mojito with a big sprig of mint that you muddle in the bottom of this, and we used a pretty fine dark rum, a Guatemalan rum, and a big squeeze of lime at the end.
So do you have a name? The rum drink, my friend Meredith.
It's almost like a
Dark and Stormy.
I can't say. The Dark and Stormy people warned me that we couldn't.
Oh, so is that like a trademark name? Oh, so we need to give it a name, huh?
Well,
fresh ginger ale name.
Yeah, this rum drink was with the mint and so forth. It was kind of like a mojito, except it didn't.
Okay.
It used ginger ale.
FGG. Yeah. Mojito.
Yeah. And then I would name another drink, too, that I mean, it's the end of the summer, but the Hendrix gin muddled with cilantro leaves at the bottom of the...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Fresh cilantro you muddle at the bottom of a glass, some Hendrix gin, the original ginger ale, and a big, huge squeeze of lime with the lime in the glass.
I would totally still drink that. Well, I can't really find any cilantro. Maybe folks on the West Coast have some cilantro that's in season, but if you're in New York, probably won't have that. But okay.
You can get it at most Asian markets.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
So number four is two cocktails.
Yeah, I would count it at four and three. I would also, we haven't done this yet, but you can actually saw on a blog of taking this ginger ale, and you can, because it's got that cane sugar and a lot of that fresh ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And you could reduce it and use it as a base of a barbecue sauce or a, you know, with a little soy and lemon or vinegar and so forth, because you've got, you know, you've got that great spicy seasoning. So I think that's a good.
So is that your number three? Or are we going to say that's number four?
That's number three.
Okay. Number three is a fresh ginger ale reduced sauce. For
reduce it down over high heat and add any seasonings you want, soy sauce, lemon juice, any herbs or spices that you want. Cool. You can baste chicken or ribs with it.
Sounds lovely. I think I'm going to try that, Bruce. So number two on the hot five.
Number two, I would just, I mean, I just like drinking it. I'm going to tell you a few. I don't like it over ice too much. I mean,
me either.
So I would say to drink it straight, cold. It's important that it be cold, and then pour it, you know, almost like a beer. There's a top restaurant, Paul Kahn's restaurants out in Chicago, where he has a big beer list and Publican, and they train the waiters actually to serve it like a beer. It gets a little head on it. Mm-hmm. Also, it has a mouthfeel. It's kind of like a beer and a wine. So you know you're drinking this drink as opposed to the colored water of a soda.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about number one. I mean,
So number two, I want to recap for people. Yeah. So number two is you can drink this like a beer.
Yeah.
So you do a soft pour, not a hard pour, right? No ice.
Yeah. It gets a little bit of a head and has a mouthfeel to it.
Okay. And number one, so...
I know you're one of our biggest fans. How do you...
That's a good... Number one.
What do you do? You know, I'm interested.
Oh, my gosh. How do I do it? I have not tried it with food, cooking. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about reducing it down, taking some of my CSA... fruits that are in my freezer and like put a little fruit and maybe like chicken and make some kind of sauce. So mm-hmm. that's what I'm thinking. Cause I've tried all those ways. I've tried all the cocktails. Mm-hmm. I've definitely tried it. Just cold, with no ice, but I think I'm going to try the sauce with, peaches that I have in the refrigerator, reduce the sauce down, maybe add just a tad bit more ginger grill some chicken.
If you reduce it, it has quite a bit. It has an ounce or so of ginger, you know. The other thing is it's good with very spicy food. I mean, just my wife's parents are from southern India. Mm-hmm. We were just in Thailand. You know, we always have chili peppers. And it's just a good, it's a little spicy itself, but it's, you know, just goes well with anything from Caribbean food to Thai food to Mexican food. Things you might not want to just have a root beer with or something. You know, it goes with food. So
if you guys are listening, hands down, this is the best. I did not grow up drinking sodas. I'm not a soda person. I don't drink Cokes, but this is the bomb. It is the best beverage of 2010. So go out and pick it up.
Thank you very much.
Bruce, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. I am totally honored that you're on the show.
And I love the name of the show, by the way.
Yes.
It's not like warm safflower oil.
Yeah, it's a conversation
real.
Piece, right?
Right, it's great.
So listeners, Bruce, thank you for coming on again. Listeners, thank you again for tuning in live to Hot Grease or pressing play on your MP3 player. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.